This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Less than a month to go before Massachusetts elects a new governor, and the race between Democrat Martha Coakley and Republican Charlie Baker has turned, well, spirited.
Coakley and Baker exchanged words in two debates, one last night, another this morning, where they were questioned about harshly critical super PAC ads targeting both candidates.
Baker said the ads that attacked Coakley raise important questions about the Attorney General's child protection credentials, and he did not say they should stop.
I think the issue is worthy of discussion. I don't like the tone of any of these super PAC ads, including that one. But the issue that's raised by that is worth conversation.
And when pressed by our own Bob Oakes, who moderated this morning's debate, Martha Coakley also said she wouldn't call for a halt to ads hitting Charlie Baker's $1.7 million salary when he was head of Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
He's entitled to do that. I'm just saying voters should know where his priorities lie and what his decision-making pulls in the balance when he makes those.
Safe to say that voters can expect to see a lot more of these outside ads as this race moves forward. Joining us now to talk more about the debates and the state of the race for governor is Susan Tracy. She's a Democratic strategist and president of the Strategy Group. Hi, Susan. Good to have you back.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for being here.
Also with us is Jeff Stinson. He's a Republican strategist and president of Stinson Strategies. Jeff, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you in.
Thank you, Anthony. Good to be here.
So let's start off with this issue of the super PAC ads. The race up until now has been pretty positive in its tone, but these two ads, one targeting Martha Coakley's handling of child protection, another going after Charlie Baker's compensation as head of Harvard Pilgrim, seem to have struck a chord with each of the contenders. Let's listen to a bit of it here. Here's WBUR's Bob Oakes, who moderated the debate earlier today before members of the Boston Chamber of Commerce.
I have said early on in this campaign that I disavow the super PAC ads. No one has asked me particularly to do it.
Right. I'm asking you right now if you will stand in front of the microphone and say, cease them.
I will do this if Charlie will sign the People's Pledge. I'm not going to unilaterally disarm Bob in this. This has been a battle. This will be a battle for governor of Massachusetts. We have millions of dollars of outside money from the Republican Governors Association that I don't believe want someone who's gone after Wall Street to be the next governor. So if Charlie will do it, I will do it.
I just have to say that the Attorney General has no credibility on this issue at all. The first super PAC ad of this race was an ad that was run against me and about me. The super PAC ad war in Massachusetts was started by folks who represented the Attorney General.
So, Jeff Stinson, let's go to you first. Who do you think comes out ahead in this argument over the super PAC ads? What's your take on this?
Well, Charlie Baker does for a couple reasons. The first is that Martha Coakley's issue is that the ad is effective, regardless of what it says, the ad's being effective, and that's clearly why she's bringing it up. The other problem is that they keep talking about the specifics of the issue, which is the last thing she wants is to have this issue discussed over and over and over again in debate after debate after debate. And a lot of people are watching this, and I think it was Evan Falchuk or someone who said in one of the debates, no one really even knows what you're talking about at this point. And that's really Martha Coakley's problem, is that she's not getting this off the air, but it's also becoming one of the major issues. And I'll just say very quickly that she says she'll disavow the ad if Charlie Baker signs the People's Pledge. He didn't ask her if she would sign the People's Pledge. He simply asked her the same thing he asked Charlie, which they both have said they won't disavow. So I thought it was very interesting that she immediately jumped to that when she said she wouldn't bring up the People's Pledge again.
So, Susan, talk about the way Martha Coakley has responded against this ad critical of her work with the Department of Children and Families. What's your take on this argument?
Well, a couple of things. I think Charlie Baker doesn't want to disavow or, you know, call for the end of the ads because he's been the greatest beneficiary of them. The Republican Governors Association has spent $1.1 million a week since the primary on attack ads against Martha Coakley. They clearly benefit him. When I watched Charlie Baker's response to the DCF attack ad, he says it raises an interesting issue. I'm sorry, that's very disingenuous. The point of that ad is to tarnish Martha Coakley's character. It is not to decide the merits of whether we should litigate or settle a case on an issue that none of us have any details on or knowledge about. That's not what that's about. It's a character assassination ad, and I'm surprised that he didn't today say, I disavow that ad. I thought it was interesting that when continued to be pushed on it, he wouldn't disavow the ad. And to me, I think it's because he's benefiting from it. And he's benefiting for all of this financial resources coming in to attack Coakley that he doesn't have to have his prints on.
Mm. And just to remind listeners, we're talking about this ad that's critical of Martha Coakley and her during her work with at the Department of Children and Families. And on that point, I actually wanted to ask both of you about a point made by Eileen McNamara, who was writing for WBUR's Cognoscenti opinion page. Of course, she's a former Boston Globe reporter. And she actually, in her piece, takes Charlie Baker to task for this line of attack against Martha Coakley and in turn raises some questions about the time Baker spent as Undersecretary of Health and Human Services. And here's what she writes. She says, Charlie Baker is not the first politician to exploit the suffering of Massachusetts' most vulnerable children for political gain, but he might well be the brashest. And she points out that Baker was the state's chief budget officer when 8 children died under state supervision in the mid-1990s. So Eileen McNamara calls it hypocrisy to attack Coakley for DCF's failures. Jeff, let me just first turn to you. Is that a fair point? I mean, if we're pointing blame to at various politicians for their involvement during the time of children suffering.
Well, I think Charlie mentioned a bit about what they did under his administration with Weld. I think you talked about some of the folks they added, some social workers, things like that. I think the bigger point is, you know, we talk about exploitation. I mean, obviously, you bring that topic up in politics, you're going to find it everywhere. I mean, Martha Coakley was just, I think, on the cover of the Globe with Mrs. Eapen, was she not? You know, talking about everything she did in that case. You know, as far as the hypocrisy of it all, you know, I think to say that what one person did in 1996, whatever it was, had the exact effect as to what's going on now. I think actually that's why Charlie Baker keeps bringing up this ad or keeps bringing up the issue, which is you could have prevented this. Instead of pursuing this in litigation, you could have prevented this by really working with folks to fix the issues then. And I think he's trying to say, you know, we're both sort of at fault here.
Mm, Susan, your quick thought on that?
Well, I think the piece that you read does point out the irony that he was in charge of an agency and in charge of ANF when similar circumstances happened. Martha Coakley is not in charge of DCF. She doesn't work for DCF. She is the Attorney General of Massachusetts. But her background as a district attorney, and I think she said this very well at the debate that you just heard, she has sat with families. The reason that the Eapens are there for her and Molly Bish's mother is there for her is she's a frontline person who has held the hands of victims, much different than being a bureaucrat overseeing an agency and, you know, making decisions that ultimately affect people's lives.
So let's move on, because these two issues, specifically the one we were just talking about, as well as the whole salary, Charlie Baker salary issue, came up last night at a debate on WBZ TV. Here's Martha Coakley going after Baker on his salary.
In a not-for-profit, your salary went from over $600,000 to $1.7 million. How do you explain that to people whose premiums went up, who lost their care?
Jeff, Baker pushed back on this line of attacks. He pointed out that Coakley was AG, part of an administration that's signed off on this. Does he have a point there?
Well, my take on this is you do a job and you get paid. I mean, he came in for a specific purpose, which is that a organization was failing. He came in to fix it. He fixed it, and he got paid for that. You know, I guess Jeff McCormick's just happy he's not a front runner in this race, so his salary didn't come up. But, you know, I think ultimately what happened here is it seems like she's sort of grasping at straws because, you know, to say that, well, you got paid X amount, and he went right back to the amount of jobs he saved. He went right back to his usual line of defense on this issue, which I think is pretty effective. And most folks at home are thinking, you know what, he did something. He did a good thing. He saved a company, and he got paid for it.
You know, I'd love to get it. As we said, less than a month to go, a WBUR poll gives Coakley a slight edge. A recent WGBH Emerson poll gives Baker a 6-point edge. I'd love to get a sort of quick word from both of you about how you see this race for governor right now. Where are we? Susan Tracy.
Well, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, I think it is amazing to me that since the primary, there has been over $6 million in negative ads levied against Martha Coakley. That doesn't count what was spent before the primary. To be neck and neck in every poll when that kind of outspending has occurred against you is pretty amazing to me. And I think these final 3 weeks of the campaign, when I believe Martha Coakley will be more competitive at getting her message out, will be a real turning point. If I were her, I would be happy to be in a close race if I had had that kind of bombing done on me for 6 weeks.
Jeff Stinson, final word from you for what we can expect in these next 3 weeks.
Well, she hasn't had the money. The primary really hurt her financially, which I think is why she's mostly upset about these ads. But ultimately, I think the thing to watch is going to be someone like a McCormick and a Falchuk to see what type of impact they have in this race. Right now, they're polling.
The independents,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Susan and I were just talking about how they were polling around 2 to 3%. I seriously think that if McCormick decides to drop any of his own personal money in there, he could easily get to 5%, which could have a serious impact on this race.
Interesting. Okay. Jeff Stinson is a Republican strategist and president of Stinson Strategies, and Susan Tracy, a Democratic strategist and president of the Strategy Group. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, stay with us because after the break, we'll have a conversation about the Common Core, perhaps much maligned now, with U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.